Christians that don't live in a monarchy don't always understand the office of king. Some of us struggle to understand the concepts associated with kings in the Bible, and even to appreciate the idea that Jesus is our king. So, what do Christians mean when we say that Jesus is our king?
The kingship of Jesus is an issue that the American church is not really too familiar with, except the missionaries that have gone out overseas to countries where kings are still in power. The country I come from, Nigeria, is a democratic nation, but the kings also are there playing vital role alongside democracy. And not that it looked like the kings have higher power than the governors who oversees the states. Because if the governor of my state wants me in the government house, I can send his envoy back to him that I'm busy. When I have the time, I will come. But when the king sent for me, I don't have any say. I don't have any excuse. I must be there right away. And even if I am indisposed, I will have to be put on a wheelchair or a stretcher and be brought before him. Because when he sends his envoy, the envoy comes with the scepter of the king and they put it in the front of your house. And that's to show to you that the king needs you immediately. And you have to move with the envoy back to the palace. So that is how the kings reign and wield power in my country, Nigeria. And when we see Christ as the king, as a sovereign, from the point of how I just described the African king, then the kingdom we are praying for will come very soon. You see, most of us don't really understand the power of a king. The king owns everything, including you, your wife, and your children. The king has the right to accept you in his domain. He has the right to banish you out of his domain. And the governor has nothing to say about it because the king's word is final. And I really glad that Jesus is the King Jesus. And if he actually is the king, then he owns every one of us. He has the right to summon us, and we don't have any excuse to give to him. He has the right to everything that we have worked and labored for on earth here, because he's the king. If we accept him as the king, then when he says go, you go. When he says come, you come. When he says stay, you stay. The issue of Jesus as the king needs to be elaborated to the Western church, most especially the American church, because we lift up our hands in worship and say that we give all to Jesus, but because of our little or myopic understanding of who a king is, even when Jesus is summoning us or is sending us, is asking us to give, we don't really understand his sovereign authority and power. So it's an area that the church in America need to really elaborate on. Jesus is king. And because of that, I own nothing on earth here, including myself, my wife, and my baby. I don't own anything. He's the owner of all. So when we see Jesus from these points as the sovereign king, then it will enable us to do what he bids us with joy, and not with struggle. Because if we are on earth here and we are subjected to unrighteous kings, unjust kings, how much more should we give ourselves freely to a just and honorable king who will not deceive us, who will not take from us unjustly what we had labored for, just as the kings of the world do. So when we see Jesus, one of his office as the office of the king, then we give what he wants from us with joy. because he is the owner and he will not allow us to suffer by taking from us what will give us happiness and joy, because he's a righteous God, he's a righteous King. So I want us to see this office of Jesus, the sovereign kingship office of Jesus, as a great privilege for us. Some of us who are even under the tyranny of a wicked dynasty and kings, it gives us hope that we are under a King who cares for us, even when our earthly kings face us. So that is the exact beauty of seeing Jesus as a righteous, holy, and just King.